beyond the watchtower's gaze the silent observer I'd walked the parapets of Watchtower Vaden more times than I could recall, but tonight's chill wind carried a different weight. Snowflakes danced in the flickering torchlight, as if trying to keep pace with my footsteps. The order's scribes had long since retired, their candelabras extinguished for the night, but I lingered, lost in thought. Behind me, the watchtower's stone facade loomed, its dark silhouette etched against a sky where stars struggled to shine through the veil of clouds. Below, the city slumbered, unaware of the balance I pondered. Justice without spectacle, that was our creed, but how often did we truly adhere to it? The memory of Kaelvarn's words still lingered within me. Not every balance demands blood. I turned my gaze to the shadows cast by the flickering torches. There, among the silhouettes, I discerned a figure that wasn't quite a shadow. Curiosity piqued, I descended from the parapet, my footsteps muffled by the thick snow. The figure didn't move or acknowledge my approach. It stood near the spot where a small section of wall was slightly askew, a remnant of a repair left undone since the Age of Order's end. In the flickering light, it seemed to be gazing at the broken stone as if searching for something lost. "May I help you?" I asked, my voice measured. The figure turned, and I saw a young woman with a satchel slung over her shoulder. Her eyes were dark pools in the dim light, but they held a deep sadness that resonated within me. "My sister," she said, her voice barely above a whisper, "was assigned to Watchtower Vaden's curators just before it happened. She was one of the ones who went missing during the Broken Rite." A pang of sorrow pierced me at her words. Many had fallen during that fateful event, including my own sister-in-arms, Sister Alara. Our order had been shrouded in secrecy since then, our true actions hidden from those we swore to protect. "I'm searching," the woman continued, "for any information about what happened to her. The curators have offered no assistance." I recognized a desperation in her that I'd seen before in those who sought balance beyond what was just. I knew she wouldn't find it here, not among the Watchtower's stone walls or within the Order's silence. "Beyond the Watchtower's gaze," I said, "there are those who might be able to help you." She looked at me uncertainly, and for a moment, our eyes locked in understanding. In that moment, I realized I was no longer just an observer, but had become entangled in her search for answers. We moved through the night streets of Elgoroth, the city's blackened buildings seeming to absorb the light around us. The cold air carried whispers of rebellion and loss. Our destination was a small, nondescript shop near the Ashen Roads, the only place where those lost during the Broken Rite might find solace. Inside, the proprietor, old brother Aaron, listened intently as the woman recounted her sister's story. His eyes clouded with concern before he nodded toward a shelf in the back of his store. "Talk to Melostra," he said quietly. "She may have information." Melostra, an enigmatic member of our order, resided on the outskirts of Elgoroth, tending her rare and beautiful nightforged blooms under the pale moonlight. Her connection to those lost in the Broken Rite was a whispered rumor among us, a hint that she held secrets even we did not. The woman departed after securing Brother Aaron's aid, leaving me with a decision. Had I acted purely out of loyalty or because I genuinely wished to aid her? It didn't matter, the silence within had spoken louder than my intentions. At Melostra abode, under a sky heavy with moonlight, I found her kneeling amidst rows of nightforged blooms that shone like tiny stars in the darkness. Their petals reflected the light of the moon, holding it captive as if waiting for dawn to set it free. "Brother," she said without looking up, "I sense you bring a request." Her words were laced with a calm understanding that belied her mystery. I handed her a small wooden token from my belt pouch, a token imbued with our order's magic at the highest cost, the loss of one memory. "For the woman who seeks answers," I said. Melostra took the token, and for an instant, our eyes met in a silent understanding. With it, she could recall and interpret any nightforged bloom's hidden knowledge secrets that would guide us toward balance and truth. As I watched her disappear into the moonlit garden, I wondered what cost this action had wrought on me, on all of us. The weight of consequence hung heavy, a reminder of the line between correction and judgment, ever shifting in the shadows we observed but rarely traversed. A few nights passed before I returned to Watchtower Vaden's parapet. The memory of Melostra Nightforged Blooms etched into my mind like a promise. From that moment on, our order walked the thin line between justice and mercy with more purpose, under the weight of secrets shared in silence. The silence itself became my solace, a reminder that sometimes, the price of balance wasn't what we lost but how deeply we felt it. Melostra Garden glowed softly under the moon, a haven from the city's shadows that seeped into every alleyway like a chill in the bones. As I waited, the Nightforged Blooms seemed to hum with an otherworldly energy, their petals fluttering ever so slightly as if awakened by my presence. The air was heavy with the scent of blooming flowers and something else, a sweet undertone that reminded me of candle wax, reminding me of Alara's candlelit vigils. I took a deep breath, laying memories of her wash over me. The pain still lingered, but it had become a part of me, much like the memory loss from handing Melostra the token. A soft rustle came from the garden path behind me. Melostra emerged, carrying a single Nightforged Bloom on a small plate. Its petals glowed with an ethereal light that matched the flickering torches back at Watchtower Vaden. She handed it to me silently, her eyes still fixed on mine, and I took it as if it held the balance of our order. The moment we touched, a vision burst forth, a memory not my own. Images flooded my mind, the broken writ's aftermath, Elgoroth's streets littered with the bodies of those who'd failed to uphold the balance, a figure in the shadows, watching and waiting, a hood pulled over their face, and then, a glimpse of the woman I'd met at Watchtower Vaden, her sister among the missing, searching for answers amidst chaos. I stumbled backward, the Nightforged Bloom's glow fading as my vision receded. Melostra's hand grasped my elbow to steady me. "Your gift, brother," she said, her voice calm and reassuring, but a flicker of concern danced in her eyes. The woman who'd been searching for answers was on that list, the ones lost during the broken writ. She wasn't dead, at least, not as I remembered it. But the truth was more complicated. She was still out there, caught between worlds, like so many others who couldn't find their way back to balance. The realization was a weight that pressed against my chest, making it hard to breathe. Melostra's hand still grasped my elbow, steadying me as I took in the implications of what I'd just seen. The broken writ had been a catastrophic event, a failure on our part to maintain balance within Elgoroth's delicate ecosystem, leading to the loss of many lives and those trapped between worlds. "You knew," I accused, my voice barely above a whisper, though it felt like a shout in my mind. Melostra's grip on my arm tightened, her eyes holding mine with an unreadable intensity. "I knew she was one of them," she said finally, the words unfolding slowly as if chosen with care. "A handful were left behind, wandering between worlds, unable to recall their past or find their way back. Why didn't you tell me?" The question hung in the air like a challenge. "Because it's not within my power to recall or heal them," Melostra replied softly. "I've watched many slip away into nothingness, trapped by their own memories, unable to escape the void." But this one, her voice trailed off, her eyes refocusing on some point beyond me. "You think there might be a connection?" I asked, my mind racing with implications. "Perhaps," she said, her words measured, "or perhaps it's merely a cruel irony that brings them together now." As the night air vibrated with an unspoken weight between us, Melostra handed me another Nightforged Bloom. This one glowed brighter than the first, its petals a vibrant red, pulsating as if alive. "For her," she said, "and for those lost, like Alara and your own sister." My heart heavy with a mix of emotions, hope, and the weight of memory loss, I nodded, accepting both the bloom and the unspoken request. I stood frozen, the red-petaled Nightforged Bloom trembling in my hand as if it could feel the turmoil within me. Melostra's words had shattered the fragile balance I'd attempted to maintain since the broken writ. Why hadn't she shared this information before? And what did she mean by perhaps was there more to this than just a chance connection? The air thickened with an unspoken tension between us, like the moments before a tempest breaks over Elgoroth's rooftops. I broke the silence, my voice firm, but tinged with a hint of accusation. How many are there? The question tumbled out, driven by a mix of curiosity and concern for those trapped in limbo. Mellos' jaw eyes dropped to the ground, her slender fingers intertwining as she replied, a few dozen, perhaps more. We've found some, helped them return, but others they fade into the nothingness, their memories disappearing like mist at dawn. Her voice trailed off, her gaze still fixed on the ground, weighed down by secrets and regret. I turned away, unable to bear the weight of what I'd just learned. In my mind's eye, I saw Alara, lost, searching for a balance that had never been there to begin with. My own sister, too, like so many others. The memory of them was all we had left, yet even those were slipping away, disappearing into the void. A cold dread seeped in, as if the very foundations of our order were crumbling. The soft chirping of crickets and the distant hooting of owls pierced the silence between us. Mellos' jaw stillness eventually broke, and she stepped closer, her voice barely above a whisper. We need to find her, brother. Her words sent a shiver down my spine. We needed answers, but at what cost? The weight of what I'd seen, what I knew now, threatened to consume me. I nodded, the red-bedaled nightforged bloom still clutched in my hand. In its glow, I saw shadows dance across the moonlit garden, the flickering light a reminder that even in our pursuit of balance and truth, darkness lingered, waiting to reclaim what we'd lost. I turned back to Mellos' jaw, my eyes seeking hers in the dimly lit garden. Her gaze met mine, a mixture of resolve and trepidation reflected within. The crickets and owls continued their nocturnal serenade, but I felt no peace in the midst of this newfound knowledge. How do we find her? I asked, the words laced with a sense of desperation, for in that moment I felt Alara's presence acutely, as if she were standing beside me. Mellos' jaw eyes narrowed, her fingers curling into fists at her sides as if preparing herself for a weighty task. We need to speak with Arenthal, she said finally, her voice low and deliberate. She may have knowledge of the others like Alara, the ones trapped between worlds. The name sent a shiver down my spine. Arenthal, our order's resident scholar, was notorious for her vast knowledge of forgotten lore and ancient texts. I pushed off from the stone bench we'd been sitting on, the red-bedaled nightforged bloom still clutched in my hand. Mellos' jaw fell into step beside me as I navigated the winding path through the garden, the soft crunch of gravel beneath our feet a stark contrast to the turmoil brewing within me. The Watcher's grand halls seemed to swallow us whole as we made our way back, the flickering torches casting long shadows on the walls. We ascended the staircases, the darkness pressing in around us like a shroud. My footsteps echoed off the stone, a reminder that I was not alone in this quest for answers. In Arenthal's chambers, the air clung to us like a damp shroud, heavy with dust and ancient tomes. The scholar herself sat hunched over a parchment, her eyes bloodshot from lack of sleep as she pored over texts and scrolls. She looked up as we entered, her gaze lingering on me before shifting to Mellos' jaw. Something has come to light, Mellos' jaw said, her voice steady but tinged with an underlying urgency. Arenthal's expression turned speculative, her eyes locking onto the night-forged bloom in my hand. Arenthal's gaze shifted from the bloom to Mellos' jaw, her eyes narrowing slightly as she took in our somber expressions. I've been studying the patterns, she said, her voice low and measured, the echoes of lost souls, remnants of the broken writ. Elgoroth is unraveling. The words hung in the air like a warning, sending a shiver down my spine. I remembered the countless stories of what happened to those who became trapped between worlds, their memories fragmenting, their very essence fading into nothingness. You think there's a way to retrieve them? Mellos' jaw asked, her voice laced with hope and trepidation. Arenthal's eyes dropped back to the parchment in front of her, her fingers tracing the intricate symbols etched on its surface. I believe I've found a reference to an ancient text, one that may hold the key to retrieving those lost. She glanced up at us, her expression grave. But it comes with a price. The weight of the night-forged bloom in my hand seemed to grow heavier, as if the very mention of this price was enough to seal our fate. I felt Melos draw gaze on me, her eyes questioning, but I couldn't respond yet, not without hearing Arenthal out. What kind of price? Melos draw asked finally, her voice cautious. Arenthal's hands fluttered over the parchment as if searching for the right words. It speaks of a memory debt, one that must be repaid for each soul retrieved. Her eyes met mine, and I felt a cold dread spreading through my chest. The cost is not just gold or silver, but memories themselves. The air in the room seemed to thicken, the shadows on the walls deepening as if darkness itself was listening in on our conversation. I remembered the countless stories of memory theft, how it could leave a person lost and alone, their identity stripped bare by those with the power to take such debts. What memories? I asked, my voice barely above a whisper. Arenthal's expression was solemn, her eyes haunted. Those we cherish most. The ones that define us. Our loved ones, our passions, even our very pasts. The words hung in the air like a sentence, heavy with foreboding. I felt Melos draw hand brush against mine, but my gaze remained fixed on Arenthal. In that moment, the weight of what we were considering became crushing. To save those trapped between worlds, we might have to sacrifice pieces of ourselves. The red-petaled night-forged bloom seemed to pulse with a faint glow, as if it too felt the turmoil within me. Arenthal's words hung in the air like a challenge, a gauntlet thrown down before us. I felt Melos draw a hand tighten around mine, her grip a reminder that we were in this together. What about you? I asked Arenthal, my voice still barely above a whisper. Do you know what memories would be demanded as payment? Arenthal's eyes dropped to the parchment in front of her, her fingers tracing the intricate symbols etched into its surface. The text doesn't specify, she said finally, her voice laced with a hint of uncertainty. But I suspect it will be something personal, something tied to each individual's connection to the Order. She glanced up at us, her eyes searching for answers. I've studied the Broken Writ for years, but this is different. This feels deliberate. The weight of Arenthal's words settled upon me like a shroud, heavy with foreboding. I thought back to my own memories, the ones I cherished most, my sister Alara, our family's farm, the early days in the Order when Alara and I were both novices. Could I bear to give those up? The thought sent a pang through me, but I knew what we were considering was far from impossible. We had to try. We'll do it, Melos Dra said, her voice firm, her grip on my hand tightening further. We have no choice. Arenthal's eyes met mine, and for a moment I saw something there, a glimmer of understanding, perhaps, or resignation. Be prepared, then, she said finally, her voice low and measured. The ritual is complex, and the cost will not be easy to bear. I felt a shiver run down my spine as Arenthal's words hung in the air, but I knew we had no choice. We had to try, even if it meant sacrificing pieces of ourselves. Melos' draw hand was still wrapped around mine, her fingers interlaced with mine, and I knew she felt it too, the weight of what we were about to undertake. The red-bedaled night-forged bloom seemed to pulse with an otherworldly energy, as if it sensed our resolve. Arenthal's expression turned practical, her eyes narrowing as she began to speak of the ritual, the steps we needed to take, and the precautions we must observe. But I was no longer listening, my mind consumed by the thought of what lay ahead, the memories I might lose, the pieces of myself I might surrender. I glanced down at the night-forged bloom still clutched in my hand, its light flickering with an eerie glow that seemed to mirror the turmoil within me. Melos draw grip on my hand tightened, her eyes locked onto mine as she whispered, "We'll face it together." I nodded, a cold determination rising within me. Together, we would see this through no matter the cost. But as Arenthal continued to speak, outlining the ritual and its demands, I couldn't shake the feeling that we were walking into the very heart of darkness itself. We set out immediately, our small procession winding its way through the labyrinthine corridors of the Order's keep. The shadows cast by the flickering torches seemed to writhe on the walls like living things, as if the darkness itself was watching us with a malevolent curiosity. Aerenthal led the way, her eyes fixed intently on some unseen horizon ahead. The weight of our decision hung heavy between us, a palpable thing that seemed to press upon my shoulders like a physical burden. I couldn't help but steal glances at Melostra, her expression set in a determined mask as we walked. We had to try, there was no other choice. The thought repeated itself in my mind like a mantra, a grim reminder of the path we were on. As we descended into the keep's lower levels, the air grew thick with the scent of mold and decay. I could feel the weight of centuries bearing down upon us, the accumulated histories of countless novices and masters etched into the stone walls like scars. We passed through narrow corridors and dimly lit chambers, our footsteps echoing off the cold stone. Eventually, we came to a small, cramped room deep within the keep's bowels. The air was heavy with the scent of old parchment and something else, something metallic, almost acrid. Aerenthal motioned us toward a large, ornate box at the room's center, its surface etched with intricate symbols that seemed to writhe like living things in the dim light. She reached out a hand, her fingers tracing the lines etched into its surface. "The text speaks of an ancient tome," she said, her voice low and measured. "One bound in human skin." Her eyes met mine, and I felt a shiver run down my spine as I remembered the stories of such tomes, the ones that held secrets and knowledge, but at a terrible cost. "The memories it holds are tied to the memories we seek," she said, her voice barely above a whisper. "But be warned, once opened, its contents will exact their price."